I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 2. I mentioned on Sunday that we probably wouldn't go back to Joshua until after the first of the year. So tonight I just want to do a little Christmas Bible study with you, and then probably next year have something to do with New Year's. Luke chapter 2, go toward the latter part of the chapter, look down at verse 25. And to get us started tonight, I'd like to read verse 25 through 32. It's in the Christmas story chapter in Luke chapter 2, but it's after the shepherds. It's after Jesus was old enough to where his parents took him to the temple. We meet a man there. Again, I'm sure you've heard the story. Not as familiar maybe as the shepherds and the wise men, but still part of the Christmas story. So look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25, where the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." You know, waiting is something that's hard for most of us to do. We don't like to wait. When we go to the doctor, we get irritated if we have to sit very long. I've already told you, I get real irritated when I go to a fast food place and they say, "Will you pull up?" And I say, I always want to say, "No, give me my money back. I don't want to wait. If I wanted to wait, I would have gone to a sit-down restaurant." But we don't like to wait. And I think this time of year, it's especially hard for the little ones to wait for Christmas. You know, they see the tree up and they see all the presents underneath the tree, and they just don't understand why they just can't open the presents right now. You know, we have to tell them, "No, you have to wait whenever you open your presents, Christmas Eve or Christmas." And, you know, it's almost like starting on a car trip with them. You know, you get them in the car, you're going to go somewhere, so you have to drive, you know, even if it's only 50 or 60 miles, after you've driven the first 2 miles, they start asking the question, "Are we there yet?" Because they don't want to wait. They just don't want to wait. And even most of us, if we were really honest, we would say, "Well, I don't like to wait either. It's just hard for us to do." In this scripture that we read, we find a man that was waiting for Christmas. Well, let me put it another way. We find a man that was waiting for Christ. We find a man that was waiting for Jesus. So he'd been promised by the Holy Spirit that he wasn't going to die until he saw Jesus. And so he was waiting. He was waiting for Jesus to come. And I don't know how long he'd been waiting. I mean, I think he was an older man, so I think he'd been waiting for a while. And the story shows, and let me just remind you what was going on in Simeon's day. I mean, in his day, the religious leaders and the religious institutions, the church, so to speak, were corrupt. I mean, when Jesus came on the scene, as he was about to do here, I mean, many, many times he told us that, yeah, you keep the letter of the law, but not the spirit. You're going through the motions, but you don't have the love that should be behind it. And that's the kind of environment that Simeon was in. And again, not part of my main study tonight, but I want to point out to you, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in the established church, quote and unquote, God always have people that are faithful and true, ready to use when he needs them. And again, Simeon is one of those men. Zacharias and Elizabeth was a couple that in the midst of a corrupt system, they stayed true to God. And God was able to use them to be the mother and father of John the Baptist. Mary and Joseph, the same thing. They lived in that world. And so sometimes we get discouraged in the world in which we live. I want to remind you that God still has people today that that are faithful and true to him that he will use. And I'm so glad. In fact, I this morning in my prayer time, I just went through my directory and some of the names I've added in the back, just thanking God for all the people that he's brought together in this place that are true and faithful to him that he uses in the midst of this world in which we live. So he was waiting for Jesus. And I got to thinking a little bit last week as I thinking about what I was going to do tonight. You know, we're waiting for Jesus as well. Now, we're not waiting for him to come like Simeon was. I mean, but we are waiting for him to come. Simeon was waiting for him to make his first appearance on earth. We're waiting for him to make his second appearance on earth. When he comes back and gathers his children together in this thing that we call the rapture, I believe that's the next thing that's going to happen. And I believe, by the way, it could happen at any time. I don't think there's any more prophecies that need to be fulfilled. I think the trumpet could sound and we could hear the shout come up hither right now. And the timing would be exactly right. So we're waiting for Jesus. Now, in Simeon's day, there were many, many people that missed the birth of the Messiah, that missed the birth of the Savior, that missed the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And so the first Christmas was just like any other day to them because they missed what happened on that day. And unfortunately, the same is true today. There'll be many, many people that will decorate their tree with lights but miss the light of the world. There'll be many, many people that will put a star on top of their Christmas tree but don't know why they're doing it because they don't know about the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem. Those many people that can sing the Christmas carols but miss the message that the angels first sang to the shepherds. And Christmas, it's a little bit different day because it's a holiday, but they'll miss the true significance of what the day means. And there'll be people when Jesus comes back and calls his church away that will miss it as well. I mean, they'll wonder what happened to all the Christians, but with time, it'll be just another day to them. So here's what I want to do tonight in just a little simple Bible study. Simeon was waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for Jesus. Simeon did some things that as he waited, that I think we ought to do as we wait. And so I want to mention three of them tonight. First of all, and I've made it easy for myself to remember, I started all of these three words with the letter C. So first of all, I want you to notice, as he waited for Jesus to come, I want you to notice his character. His character. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." He was holy. He did right. He did what he was supposed to do. And he worshiped God. He lived his life in a way that was pleasing to God. I mean, he figured out what God's will was for his life, and he devoted his life to fulfilling that will. Now, as we wait for Jesus to come back the second time, we need to do the same thing. We need to live our life in the same way, just and devout. We need to do what's right. We need to think about what God wants us to do with our life, find that will, and do it. Simeon was able to do that because he listened. He listened to the Bible that he had. He listened as the Holy Spirit directed him. I'm going to say some more about that in a minute. But he listened. You know, I think many Christians' problems today, it's not that they're rebellious against God. It's just they don't listen. They're careless when they come to this book. They read this book, but they don't pay attention to what God says to them through it. They'll come to Sunday school, and they'll listen to the lesson. But they won't listen to what God says to them through the lesson. They'll come to church and listen to sermons, but they won't listen to what God says to them in the sermons. The Holy Spirit, they may recognize the Holy Spirit working in their life and trying to instruct them, but they won't listen to what the Holy Spirit says to them. Listen, I think every time we sit in a Sunday school class, and every time we sit in a church service, and every time we pick up this book, and every time that we feel that the Holy Spirit is working in our life, we ought to listen, because God has something for each of us in Sunday school, in church, in this book, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And again, most of us are not rebellious. We just don't listen carefully enough. We don't listen to what the Bible says. We don't look, every lesson, let me just talk to the adults for a minute. Every lesson that Brother Leonard teaches, I believe God has something in every one of those lessons for every person here. You say, how can Brother Leonard do that? How can he get something in the lesson for every one of us here? It's not him, it's the Holy Spirit. He'll use Brother Leonard to present the truth, and Brother Gerald needs it in a certain way that's different from Brother Terry, that's different from Brother Terrell, that's different from Brother Bob, but the Holy Spirit takes that truth and sort of customizes it to us. And so every time you come to Sunday school, you ought to come with the expectation, the Holy Spirit is going to tell me something today that I need. I need to listen to figure out what it is. Same thing when you said in a preaching service. The Holy Spirit has something for everybody. Same thing when you read this book. Five of us can read the same passage of Scripture and we'll get five different things out of it because we need five different things. And so Simeon was a man that listened as God spoke to him through the Bible that he had, which was the Old Testament, through the Holy Spirit. And he listened and he did what God told him to do. I believe Jesus could come back at any time. I don't know about you, but when he comes back, when the trumpet sounds and that loud voice says, come up hither, I want to be right in the middle of doing something that he's told me to do. I don't want to be sitting when he told me to be up on my feet. I don't want to be sleeping when he told me to pray. I don't want him to come back and find me not doing what he told me to do. I think you have the same desire. So he had a character of integrity. He listened and he did what God told him to do. As we wait for Christ to come back, we ought to be doing the same thing. And then there's another thing I want to talk to you about his character. I think he lived his life with intensity. He was waiting for the Savior to come. I think he got up every day and said, this may be the day. I think he got up every day and said, this may be the day that Jesus comes. This may be the day that God keeps his promise. This may be the day that the consolation of Israel comes. And every day, I think he lived his life with the expectancy, the intense expectancy that Jesus was going to come that day. Maybe he didn't. I don't think he understood it. I don't think he could foresee that one day he was going to go into the temple and pick up a little baby and the Holy Spirit was going to say, this is it. This is the one. But I think every day he had the intense expectation, this could be the day. Now let me ask you a question. I'll ask myself at the same time. I know what my answer is. I don't want to know what your answer is. You answer it for yourself. Did you get up today expecting Jesus to come back today? When you got up this morning, did you say to yourself, this could be the day? Because it could be. He could come back. Anytime. And we need to live with that same intense expectancy. This could be the day. It could be today, the day that Jesus comes back. And so he waited with character, with integrity and an intense expectation. We ought to do the same thing. And then number two, quickly, I want you to note that he waited with comfort. Comfort. And again, I start all my words with C, so it'd be easy for me to remember. Comfort. He lived in a wicked world. He lived in a world where the religious leaders were corrupt. They were in it for themselves. the church was more concerned with the spirit of the law or the letter of the law than the spirit. He lived in that world. And yet, he didn't get discouraged. He didn't get down. He had comfort because he had the comforter. Now listen, I know that he lived before the day of Pentecost. I know that Jesus said, when I go up to heaven, I'll send the comforter down to you. I know that this predates all of that. And yet I read in these verses, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He had the comforter with him. And we need to remember, we live, again, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world that's getting worse and worse. I laugh every time I hear somebody on the TV or radio, oh, the world's getting better and better. Man, where did you get off the boat? It ain't getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But we as Christians, don't be discouraged. We have the comforter. We have the Holy Ghost. We have him. And then I want you to know something else. He was satisfied with that. He was satisfied. He said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. Hey, and let me go ahead and mention, I have 3 points under each of my points, so let me mention the third one underneath this one. He knew for a certainty that God has kept his word. He said, I'm ready to depart in peace because you kept your promise. You told me I wouldn't die until I saw the Savior. You brought me into the temple this morning. I don't think Mary and Joseph stood out. There might have been other mothers and fathers there with their little babies keeping the custom. They came, I think, on the 8th or 9th day to have them circumcised and named. I don't think they stood out. There could have been many parents and many little babies in the temple that day. I don't know if Simeon came to the temple every day or not. He might have, since he was just and devout. But I know on this day that the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, you need to go to the temple today. And when he got to the temple, Mary and Joseph and the little baby Jesus were pointed out. And the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, there he is. There's Emmanuel. There's the Messiah. There's the Savior. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit does the same thing to us today. He reminds us of the promises that God has made us, not only in the Old Testament, but all the ones in the New Testament. He reminds us of those promises. And if we'll let him, he will direct us as to where and when we ought to be, where we ought to be and when we ought to be there. I believe just like he directed Simeon to the temple, just like he directed Simeon to Mary and Joseph and to little baby Jesus, I believe that he'll direct us the same way. And so we live in a wicked world. We live in a world that's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we're waiting for Jesus. But we need to wait with comfort because we have the comforter. We have the one that will remind us of the promises that God has made to us. And he will, not only will remind us of those promises, but he will direct us. He will direct us. And so we ought to have that same sense of peace that Simeon had. I'm not going to worry. Why should I worry? I have God. I have God that is here with me. He promised me he'd take care of everything that I need. He directs me where I need to go. He strengthens me when I need to be strengthened. He encourages me when I need to be encouraged. What more do I need in my life? You know, we talk about, it says in the book of Philippians, he'll give us the peace that passeth understanding. I was talking to one of our ladies tonight, and she was telling me everything that, all the trials that she's faced today. And she made the statement, said, I don't know what I'd do without God. She wasn't discouraged. She wasn't down. She said, God's helped me through it, and he'll help me through it tomorrow. If tomorrow's as bad as today, he'll help me through it tomorrow. You know, sometimes we get to the point in our life, how much more, Lord? How much more is coming? I always tell people, trouble comes like bananas. They come in bunches. You get one, expect another one, because it's going to come, and another one. But don't get discouraged. We have the Comforter. And he'll remind us of every promise that's in this book for us. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. And so Simeon, he waited with character. We need to wait with character. He waited with comfort. We need to wait with comfort. And then number three, he waited with concern. He waited with concern. He says in verse 29, he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. You've kept your promise. You told me I wouldn't die until I see the Savior. So let me depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen it. Again, he was just looking at a little baby. And I don't know what God let him see. But he realized that that was God's salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. This was a Jew. A Jew. And he said, this salvation is not just for the Jewish people. This salvation is for all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. He says, I can depart in peace because I know that salvation is here. While he was waiting, he was concerned. He was concerned about that salvation. But now he says, I can go because I've seen the salvation which is offered to all people, both Jew and Gentile, a light to lighten everybody. And in the same way, as we're waiting for Jesus, we need to have that same concern. He's coming back. And those that don't know him, oh, listen, we need to be busy. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus. We need to be busy passing out tracts. We need to be busy inviting people to church because Jesus is their salvation. There is salvation in none other than him. And while we're waiting, and again, I believe he could come back at any time. I believe every prophecy that needs to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. And he could come in the next moment, and we could be on our way to heaven. Truly, truly, we could be on our way to heaven. And there are people that we know. There are people in our family. There are people in our circle of friends, there are people in our neighborhood, there are people that we do business with, there are people that we have contact with that don't know Christ, that don't know Jesus. We've seen a salvation. We need to share it. We need to share it. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.